Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a solar storm. Basically, Kevin, why don't you get right into it. What is a solar storm or a solar flare? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, the sun has different weather, you know? You kind of have to think about it like that. The weather with the sun, though, is mostly affected by electricity and magnetization.
Okay.
Now, when a solar flare happens, basically what's happening is those magnetic waves got twisted, and they snap back into the right position, and they eject a massive solar flare from that. Now, that's basically a geomagnetic storm. You know, okay. Which sends the a wave of protons and electricity and all sorts of nasty shit. Now, so there's a coronal mass ejection.
Right.
That's a basic solar flare, and that'll be protected. The Earth will be protected. Its magnetic field will protect it. But anything outside that magnetic field is going to be fried. Satellites, astronauts. Everything outside the magnetic field there.
Oh, and astronauts also, too? You don't want to be there?
Toasted, yeah.
You don't want to be out on the space station?
And then there's a coronal mass ejection. Then there's the solar superstorms. Now that can be geomagnetic, that can be solar flare radiation. And these things happen once or twice a century. Hmm. So there was the Carrington event and the 1989 Quebec power grid failure. That was a geomagnetic storm. That was March 13th, 1989. And that basically blacked out the northeast of the United States and the east side of Canada. Had some serious damaging effects all the way out as far as like Seattle and places like that.
Hmm.
Now, when you had these storms, you're able to see the northern lights, you can see those, you know, as far down as the equator.
That's kind of the upside, right? You know, you get a little like light show and,
right.
You know,
all the power's
sure,
out.
People will die
but
and whatever.
At least you have, you know, a beautiful light show. The problem is
all
with
right,
these
I
things,
can get behind that. Okay.
The way they hit the Earth's magnetic field and do the same thing. They basically twist it up and pull it. And then it snaps back into place. And when that snapback comes, it can travel around the entire planet. You don't have to be facing the sun. You don't have to be facing any specific direction for it to affect your area.
So we're not safe at nighttime because it's nighttime.
No. Okay. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And the positive effect is that it has no effect on biological creatures like animals and plants and people. It's just all the electrical systems get fried. Basically, it sends a huge electrical burst into all the power lines in whatever direction they're going, back to the power plant and out to your house. And the major damage is done at the power plant because it'll just bring the temperature up to, you know, a couple thousand degrees immediately and melt everything. So power's out and it's not coming back on in the next next few hours. Some of the heavier storms they're predicting could take 4 to 10 years to repair all the damage.
Well, now, I know one of the big things we saw when we got into EMPs, which obviously this is a very similar type event, was that it's actually the transformers that are a big thing.
Right.
And we don't have a big readily available supply of transformers to be able to go out and replace them if they get damaged. So it's not so much that it's huge damage, it's that it's mass damage.
Right.
That it happens on such a large scale, that's where we get into trouble. Now, a solar flare, my understanding is it's even less devastating at the point. What it is when you have an EMP, it's a dramatic spike, like a lightning bolt kind of thing, the way it interferes with electronics. Whereas a solar flare, they say it's something that'll usually last from 10 seconds to 3 minutes, where right. it's kind of a constant lower frequency as opposed to a hard pulse. This is more a constant, like you said, kind of heats up things and just really does a hardcore damage. I think our biggest fear is not so much that you have every single electronic device in our house is going to be wiped out, as more as a more subtle and less devastating thing. But then once things start to escalate, you have a cascading effect of, well, when the infrastructure starts to go down, you know, the grid's down for 4 or 5 days or whatever, then things fall apart quickly. And we know that society as a whole, especially in America lately, doesn't seem to react well to devastating events.
Right, right. It's been pretty clear over the past couple of months that a lot of people just go, you know, full-on retard and panic.
That's why
we had a shortage of toilet paper that didn't make any sense at all, you know? That's why we had a lot of shortages made no sense. They was just people panicking and buying everything up. There were just a shortage of masks for a while there. And everybody, it was because people panicked. And they saw, you know, a stocked shelf and they just bought everything they could buy.
Yes.
You know? And now imagine this virus, except instead of everybody hunkering down in their home, getting their news on TV and playing with their phones, all that's gone. The electricity's gone. The news is gone. You're not getting any information from any government groups telling you what to do or how to panic, you know, how to freak out, what should you do? And so nobody really knows what is going on in the rest of the world. All they know is that their small community is out of power.
And that's where fear builds. Right. I think you end up with a day or two of, well, it's a power outage, it'll come back on. And people not, you know, fully panicking to the extent that, you know, you would with some other more where you have the understanding when you have the media telling you, oh, you know, Russia just invaded and, you know, the world's ending, or New York City broke loose and people are rioting and burning down every single building. Although I got to say, I feel like we've become pretty numb to these dramatic events as a whole in society. We're like, yeah, they do that there. That's what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So here, let me give you a quick rundown of a lot of the infrastructure things that you can kind of expect both with an EMP and with a solar flare. So electricity generation and production. See, that's what I was saying. Like if these transformers or even if our power stations are overloaded, you know, just getting things back up can be rather dramatic. So electricity is going to go down at least temporarily. Well, when that happens, gasoline production and transportation immediately starts to go down, right?
Right.
I'm not saying that your cars are going to stop and everything. You know, it looks like maybe with an EMP, it's not as dramatic, like all the vehicles stopping and that kind of thing. But remember, when gas runs out, or at least you can't pump gas, that's a problem.
That was a major thing. We had a hurricane, not to cut you off, but we had a hurricane up here about 5-10 years ago. And the main thing that got people in trouble was that you couldn't get gas at a gas station. I was passing cars on the side of the street. The guy's like, "Hey, listen, I got 10 miles left before I'm out of gas." He said, "Is there any gas stations around here that are pumping?" I said, "No, I've been driving on this road for an hour and I ain't seen anything in any direction. That's you know, the stores are open. You can buy stuff, but you can't pump any gas, and you better have cash when you go in there."
Right. And yeah, I think we need to touch on that cash shortage that our country seems to be having at the end of this episode. But anyway, moving right along. Think about in the Northeast and well, the North period, heating and fuel oil. Also think about steam and what that powers and does. Satellite and land-based telecommunication networks, transmission and control centers. All right. So all your texting, everything, like Kevin said, Facebook. Imagine if you couldn't go to the Prepping Badass group on Facebook, what your day would be like. I mean, I don't even know how you get through, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right there, the psychological effects of not being able to enjoy Chuck's happy memes and things like that, you know, that's catastrophic, right? Data centers, data equipment, control centers, power supplies, and cooling. So also, if you don't have cooling on a lot of that stuff, it can have catastrophic long-term effects.
Right.
Now, this type of stuff, think about ATMs, you know, the different things that we have available to us. Even if you just go into the bank and they're like, "Hey, we're open, but we can't look in our computer and see what's in your account or know anything. And we have no idea. We can't really help you." These things, you know, it matters. So having a stockpile of cash sounds like a good idea. Something you guys may want to think about. Transportation systems in general, but it's also railroads, airports, harbors, any kind of inland shipping. So think about your grocery stores with your, you know, on-demand type supply chains where things, you know, are best. They have 3 days worth of supplies. And you know what? 3 days worth of supplies, that's three normal days, not three days of a panicked, psychotic, crazy world, right? So financial, the stock exchange, all that. What happens when that goes away for a little while, you know, when people are unknown of the future? Now, then it expands to like agriculture and food production and distribution, your water supply. Now, cool if, you know, your water supply comes from a big water tower and it's going to come, but do you have pump stations and all these things that are going to...
Yeah, that water doesn't fill back up in that water tower without pumps. So you'll be supplied for a few days and hopefully they'll be able to get things running by then. But the truth is, that might not be the case.
And then,
if all your power supplies is shut off, 90% of those pumps will work for a couple of days until the generator runs out of power. And then that's it. That's it. It's another one of those events where you might want to just fill up your bathtub. You know, fill up a couple of buckets so you can wash, you know, wash your feet and wash your hands.
You know, can I interest you in buying a water bob?
Chuck is always preaching about it. I still haven't bought a water bob, I have to admit. But Chuck is always preaching at me. I know when this happens, he's going to be laughing at me because I'm
laughing.
Nasty bath water that I filled up after, you know, after I
peed. You know, maybe you want to drink your filth.
That
might be your thing, but Chuck.
No, but I mean, you can keep flushing your toilet if you have a 5-gallon bucket full of water that you can fill the back of your toilet up with, you know, and getting rid of your shit. That's pretty important, you know.
Well, that brings me to my next one. People always worry about the water not coming into your house. But what if you don't have the proper pumping stations for your local sewer plant?
That's right.
And everybody's still flushing their toilets, or that sewage keeps coming, you know, because you also have sewage that comes from even just rain runoff and things like that. A lot of times will get incorporated into your local sewer plant. Well, if you don't have the proper pumping stations to move things in the right direction, Kevin, are there consequences to that?
Yeah, nope. There's going to be spots that you never even noticed that you've driven past 100 times that are now a lake of sewage.
Oh, nice.
So keep that in mind. It might be right up the street from your house and you never even noticed it. And then all of a sudden you got your own shit running out across the street and you're on your way to work.
Now, so some other infrastructure, public health, think hospitals, ambulances, big one, mental health facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take that even one further, security services, FEMA, police, military. And then the big one that you all need to think about, the prison system. Mm-hmm. What happens when these things don't have electricity and it shuts down? But like I said, it doesn't
happen to New York. They just let everybody out.
Oh.
When this COVID hit, they just knocked years and years off of people's sentences and just sent them home.
Could you imagine? I mean, that's such a crazy concept or a crazy idea to be like, hey, you know, don't even worry about it. You know, we have this whole system set up where we're like, you know what? The consequence for this should be 14 years. And, 3 years, I feel like you've done something. You know, let's just go.
You learned your lesson.
I don't know. It just seems a little devastating. So these things, they escalate. But I think, like I said, it's not as much of a fear of your electronic device is not working with a solar flare, is that basically I think it's the cascading effects. The short term, well, what could be a short term disruption in the regular power supply coming from the government, and then that building into all these things escalating. Because how much could America destroy our infrastructure? I swear we're not the society that can kind of band together. All right, we can get through this. We just got to make it 2 weeks and get things going again. Can we go 2 weeks without tearing the motherfucker down? I mean, is that how we are? I look and see what America's doing, and it doesn't look good when things start to go bad.
Yeah, you know what I never thought about until about 10, 15 years ago. I was in I was living in California at the time, and I was living in an apartment complex, and we had a power outage. And I was sitting on the steps talking to my neighbor that lived in the apartment next door, and this guy comes walking past down the back behind the apartments.
Yeah.
And my neighbor jumped up and fucking started yelling and chasing him away. And I didn't realize it, but he was just going out. The power was out. So he was just walking along looking for shit to steal, you know, houses to break into. Nobody's home. No alarms are set up. You know, the cops got other things to do. They're not going to be showing up with a great response time. And it's real easy to, you know, you'll see people everywhere during these power outages that just go out looking to steal shit because it's an opportunity. And if that opportunity is lasting a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's going to get bad real fast when people realize they can get away with stealing shit and nobody's going to come chasing them down. Another serious issue that I think that everybody's overlooking is refrigeration. All your, not just your food in your house and your refrigerator is going rotten. You know, you get a power outage. And I remember as a kid, my dad be like, don't open that refrigerator. Just wait until the power comes back on. All that cold air is going to dump out as soon as you open that door. But you know, that the truth is when it's 4 or 5 days, it doesn't matter how many times you open that door, that shit is going to rot. And, all the food at the grocery store, it's going to rot. You're going to have a big barbecue the day that power goes out and cook all your meats and get all your vegetables and get all your things cleared out of that refrigerator because it's just going to be disgusting. And the grocery store, all their refrigerators, same thing. Your neighbors, the people down the street, the people in the next town over, everybody's food is going to be rotting. And about a week into that, you're going to really be wishing you had a lot more dried goods, you know, dried beans, dried rice, pasta, stuff stocked up in your house. I love stocking up on meat when the prices are good, but I'm just filling up a refrigerator with it, you know, and all that meat's going to be gone. So it's really something to think about when you're stocking up on your food preps and all that sort of stuff. Think about not having your refrigerator, not having access to the food that you normally have in there. You know, a lot of you guys are big on hunting. You know, you'll get a big deer and put the back straps in there, save them up. You have, you know, buy half a cow and put it in your coffin freezer. All that shit is going to be gone. So it's really something to be conscientious about when you're stockpiling your food, that you are stockpiling a lot of stuff that would be, you know, isn't necessary to have in the refrigerator. Just something I'm thinking about. That's all.
No, that's right. The only upside I see there is that soft melted ice cream that you're forced to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you're the victim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put a smile on your face before death comes tomorrow, because all that rotten food is just going to smell nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's one more thing to think about. It's just one more thing to show you how vulnerable our society has become. And, you know, we actually, as Americans, I mean, we could do so much more. And I guess that's what's upsetting. We could do so much. We're such an awesome country, and we could do so much to protect our infrastructure. We could do so much to bring society together as a whole. But there's also always going to be vulnerabilities. And we have some big holes or flaws in our system that, you know, make it that we are, you know, a little more fragile than a lot of us like to think. And I think that's a big part of what we've been seeing, you know, with all this rioting and looting, and, you know, things can really turn around and get crazy. One of the things that we touched on a minute ago about, you know, ATMs and things like that going down, we're seeing more and more. You know, you kept hearing these random things you'd see on Facebook about there's a coin shortage, and you're like, what the hell is a coin shortage? You know, what does that even mean? That doesn't even make sense. And I don't even understand how it's happening or where it's coming from. And then when I go to Lowe's the other day, they're like, oh, we don't give cash back anymore because there's a cash shortage and there's no money and no, you know. So all these things, and, you know, stores are like exact change only if you have cash. I mean, one of the things, why do you need cash when nobody will take cash? You know, that's right. The next thing. But this stuff just builds and escalates, and there's just so many things to prepare for. But if you constantly are evaluating your preps, I mean, none of these things are new things that we haven't touched on. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know, we've been telling people to have a supply of cash in your stockpile for forever. We've been telling people to have a, you know, backup plan to your refrigeration. Have a backup plan to where your food comes from, you know, and that might be the sustainable garden and the things like that. Have a plan, you know, start to choose choices with everything you do that you just slowly move in the right direction. You know, it's traumatic right now. Like, how many times have we said, hey, you know, I mean, maybe not a lot of times, but I know we've talked about having masks in your stockpile. Because I know we talked about volcanoes and things like that and dust. And I know we did a pandemic episode where we also mentioned having masks in your preps and these kind of things. It's not that, hey, we were able to see the future. No, not at all. But when you start to consider and look at possibilities of what might come up, there are certain staples that over and over again, we see, you know, recurring. And having cash is kind of one of them. Having extra food storage that's dry goods, like Kevin just mentioned, having that stockpiled covers so many different scenarios. You know, nobody would have even thought that a pandemic would be something that you needed a stockpile of food for. You know, that's not the kind of thing. But how much did that pay off when they said, hey, it's best if you don't go out to the store for the next month? And a lot of you guys were like, yeah, that's not going to be a problem for me. When there's a big shortage of toilet paper and paper towels, hey, you know, I planned for that kind of thing. I have a little bit extra. I have redundancy built in. And it's hard. Also, when things happen like, hey, you're not going to be able to work for the next 3 weeks. And yeah, the government's going to put you on some kind of, you know, payment thing here, you know, what is it? Unemployment. But that's not going to kick in for 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Right. You still got bills get rolling by in.
You know, you got those bills. These are the kind of things, or not needing, you know, if money's tight, maybe I don't need to go grocery shopping. And, you know, we saw groceries go up a lot. I mean, very significantly. It's funny where I am. We have these stores called Lidl or Lidl or something. I don't know. It's L-I-D-L-E. I don't even know how you say it. I haven't asked anybody because I don't really care that much. but it's like a, I don't know. They have more like generic stuff. And it's weird. The place isn't like ever packed or anything. So I don't know the deal. But I know I can go up there and buy a loaf of bread for like 62 cents versus, you know, a loaf of bread is like $3.99 or $4.99 at Food Lion or whatever. And that's crazy to me, you know, the difference. A carton of eggs is like 68 cents, whereas, you know, it's $3.99 at Food Lion.
And yeah, I mean, eggs have shot up, man, lately. I don't know what the deal is with that, but eggs have like doubled in price.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, having things that are options available to you and planning ahead, but having that little stockpile set aside that, you know, kind of keeping your freezer full when you're, you know, that, you know, 1 week you go to the grocery store and there's zero meat. I mean, I was just reading on Facebook, somebody put out that they went to the grocery store. There was zero lunch meat, zero bacon, zero beef in the entire store. And then I've seen where the shelves are just stripped of meat. And then I come in 4 days later and there's all kinds of meat there. Well, if you're in a position that you can buy the extra when it's available and plan, but this is long-term planning. You know, this is something that doesn't happen overnight. You can't be the guy who just jumps out and, you know, hey, I'm going to go buy a million masks. I'm going to buy, you know, 4 years worth of long-term food storage. I'm going to set up a garden. I'm going to go buy 50 sheep. I'm going to go buy a bunch of chickens, a bunch of bunnies and do this. No, but this is something you can build up over time. And that's what prepping is. It's preparing. And you don't prepare all at once. You prepare over time and in stages. And you slowly do just a little more. Hey, you know, this is something I can do. Or, you know, money's really tight right now, but I can use my time and build up my infrastructure around my house where I, you know, put up some, you know, fencing or at least clear land. You know, maybe I can clear and make a more usable field. That costs me $0, you know, that kind of thing. Start to plan and see what you can do to improve your situation long term. And the more you can prepare and plan, and don't forget security. You know, I feel like security might be one of our next steps coming up. Guns are ridiculously disappearing all over the place off the shelves. Their ammunition is ridiculously getting harder and harder to get, where it's either not available or you're paying such a high premium that it's unbelievable.
I said a 40% increase in sales and ammunition this year from last year.
They said that one of the ones I read was 2 weeks ago that 41% of gun sales were first time gun buyers.
That's
crazy. I hope that's going to help us as far as the, you know, the gun movement there, as far as people being a little more on board, if there's a lot more gun owners out there. But people are scared. And these are things you need to think about. Think about how you're going to protect your family, how, you know, things are going to play out for you. And the idea with being a prepper is to be at least one step. I'd like you to be 10 steps ahead of the other guy. But you need to at least be aware of what's happening around you and what's going on. And it's just one more thing. You know, solar flares are a thing, and it is something to keep in the back of your mind. Just like EMPs, there's so many countries out there that don't like us and would be happy to take advantage of an opportunity where we're looking weak and vulnerable. And I got to say, with everything going on in our streets these days, America's looking rather weak and vulnerable with the way that we've been acting like children. It's kind of crazy. And our politics are just crazy and you know, out of control. We're so at each other's throats. We're so not unified. We're so against each other. And, you know, people are like, well, if you just accept everything and go along, then we can have peace and no conflict and nobody will be offended and everything will be great. But, you know, you need to decide what's really important to you and what's worth fighting for. And I feel like if we keep going down this road, when you stand for nothing, just you're ripe for the takeover, you know, ripe for somebody to walk all over you. And that may be your own government. But so start to think about how you can improve your preps, improve your situation, and look ahead, you know, try and see, hey, what might be coming and what can I do that's going to prepare me for multiple events, you know, multiple possibilities. And that's how you succeed. That's how you're prepared. So, Kevin, that's what I got. You got anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I did want to touch on real quick. I wanted to touch on hunting. I know a lot of the guys out there that aren't into prepping say, you know, a lot of the guys that I've talked to about these sorts of things before have said, I'm not worried about it. You know, if there's no food, I've got a gun. I can go out and hunt and I can do all that, you know, take care of myself that way. And that's fine. But in a situation that we're talking about, everybody's going to think that. Everybody's going to think I can go hunting. Now, there's no seasons because everybody's just shooting anything they see. And it's not going to be long before that population of deer, whatever it is you're hunting, can't reproduce itself the way it could, you know, when we're regulating the hunting. And there's a decrease in 40% during the during the Great Depression of white-tailed deer in the United States, because everybody was out hunting.
Wow.
And you need to be thinking about that. It's real easy for you to go out and find a white-tailed deer during hunting season and sit up in a stand and take it home and great, you've got some meat. But if everybody's doing that same thing all, you know, throughout the entire year, it's going to be a lot harder to find something to take home with you. So just putting that out there, you know, it's great to be able to hunt and provide meat for your family, but if everybody else is doing it, it's going to be a lot harder for you to catch anything.
That sounds right. Even squirrels, anything, all that little stuff, all that little game that you're thinking you can count on, it really will disappear in short order. The only thing I can see as an upside there is if it all disappears, then maybe they'll leave my freaking garden alone, right?
That's right.
I don't know.
Eat all those woodchucks and rabbits.
You know, those of you that are thinking about, you know, upping your guns and your gun stuff, maybe think about a Tac Pack. Tac Pack sends you a lot of cool gun stuff. Those hard to find parts that you just can't seem to get your hands on. You want to upgrade your situation.
Some check of those out parts that you didn't even know you needed until you got
exactly.
them.
Exactly. So what they do is it's a monthly subscription for $49.95 a month, and they send you gear that they're able to buy in bulk. So they're able to send you a lot of quality items for a very low price. I say a very low price, $49.95, but you end up getting $75 to $100 worth of gear every month sent to your house. And the cool thing is we worked out a deal with them where if you use the code BADASS, it turns out they will send you some bonus cool shit. So something to look into. Just look and see if it's right for you. It's definitely geared towards the AR-15 shooter. If you're into other guns, a lot of the stuff is very specific to that platform. If you're not an AR-15 guy, probably not the right thing for you. There's a lot of other cool things out there, maybe. Black Rifle Coffee, a lot of cool ways to support veterans and take care of other people. But, you know, think about these things, supporting people you like, people you care about. And with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.